This is Speaking Freely. I'm Annette Newell. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's an important job. The Oregon Secretary of State is second in line to be governor and is also in charge of elections and audits for the state. Six candidates, four Democrats and two Republicans, recently took part in a City Club candidate forum to show what they'd offer voters. First, here's Democrat James Crary.
In 2022, just under 67% of registered voters voted in Oregon. In 2004, it was just under 86.5%. So why the huge drop in voter participation? To me, it's because people don't feel like their vote means anything. And what I want to do is, when I am elected, on the Secretary of State's website, I'll add a new tab. I'm going to call it the Electronic Candidate Form. And what that's going to do is allow any registered voter to ask questions of any or all of the candidates and then easily compare and contrast the different answers. This is going to engage, empower, and educate voters, especially young voters, because young voters are tied to their smartphones. It's just a way of life. And any smartphone, any tablet, any desktop you have, you can ask a question of any or all of the candidates. People that are running for office are applying for a job. And every job that I've ever applied for, you had to go through an interview.
And here's how James Crary answered a question about his priorities should he be elected Secretary of State in Oregon.
What I'm going to do is travel around the state and go to every county. And in every county, I'm going to meet with the county clerk, because the county clerk is where the rubber meets the road on voting and elections. So it's important to have a really good working relationship with them. The other thing I'm going to do when I go to each county is to visit as many high schools and colleges as possible. And at each college and high school that I go to, I'm going to talk about the electronic candidate form and explain to them that they have a power that they didn't have before. And that power is to ask questions of any, as long as they're a registered voter, ask questions of any or all the candidates. Everybody's got some kind of an issue, be it student debt, be it climate change. Why not ask the people that are trying to represent us questions as to what their plans are for dealing with the issues that are important to every registered voter? So that's what I'm going to do, is spend my time traveling and talking with county clerks and young people.
The last person voters elected Oregon's Secretary of State resigned and left the office early. Shamia Fagan stepped down at the urging of Governor Tina Kotek and others due to ethics questions over her extra paid job advising owners of a marijuana dispensary chain while overseeing an audit for the state of cannabis regulation. So each of the candidates running for Secretary of State this time around was asked, the last person to finish this position or last person elected to this position did not finish their term. If elected, what changes would you put in place to limit potential corruption in the office? Here's how Democrat James Crary responded.
The thing is that I'm pretty conservative on this kind of thing. I am not the kind of guy that goes to see how close to the line I can get ethically. And so I'm going to give it a wide berth and be very careful about that. I'm running for this office because I want to have this electronic candidate form. I'm not going to imperil that by doing something that is untoward or doesn't have some good thinking behind it. So the other thing I'm going to do to demonstrate that this is an open office is, this is unique. Every day I'm in the office, I'm going to answer the phone at least one time. So somebody that's expecting to get into some phone queue and have to push 14 buttons before they get to a live person are going to be greeted with this. Hey, this is Jim Crary. I'm Secretary of State. How can I help you? They're going to wonder what the heck happened to them. So I'm going to be open. I'm going to be transparent. And I'm not even going to come close to the line.
And again, that was Democratic candidate for Oregon Secretary of State Jim Crary. Now, another man who wants the job is Democrat Tobias Reed. He is the current Oregon State Treasurer.
I'm running for Secretary of State because it is a really important job with important responsibilities. That is always true, but it's especially true right now when so much of what we care about and count on for our system of government is at risk. We should not make the mistake of thinking that the wonderful way we do elections in Oregon with mail-in ballots and automatic voter registration are invulnerable. There are people who are trying to roll that back, who are threatening violence and intimidation. So the Secretary of State needs to be in a strong position to defend those. In addition, the Secretary of State is the auditor. We need an audit process that is driven not by politics, but by a realistic and rigorous assessment of risk. Those are the things that I will bring to the office. I also want to bring my experience as a statewide elected official, running an agency, setting a mission, and ensuring accountability. There's no substitute for that experience in Oregon running a statewide agency. That's why I've got the endorsement of the three former Secretaries of State who have endorsed in this race.
Tobias Reed was also asked what his priorities would be should he be elected Oregon Secretary of State. Here's how he answered.
I appreciate this question because it gives me a chance to think back when I became state treasurer 7+ years ago. And I think when you think about the responsibilities that the Secretary of State's office has, the most important is elections. We have such a wonderful set of policies that we've instituted in Oregon, but we shouldn't take them for granted, and we shouldn't assume that they can't be made better. So making sure that we have policies in place to help people feel confident about the way we run elections. We've made it pretty easy in Oregon, but people still have to choose to vote. So continuing to defend our system against people who would undercut or threaten people who are carrying out elections or participating. In addition to that, the audit power of the Secretary of State can further contribute to people's confidence about state government, and making sure that those audits are driven not by a particular agenda, but by efficiency and effectiveness as a desire to make sure that our dollars are spent appropriately, that programs and agencies are operating well. Finally, I think we have seen a lot of turnover and turmoil in the Secretary of State's office, and making sure that hundreds of employees that work there have the resources they need to do their job, that there is an expectation of integrity and transparency. Those are going to be priorities, and that's the lesson that I can bring from serving successfully as state treasurer. No substitute for that kind of experience in this office.
And Reed was also asked, the last person elected to this position did not finish their term. If elected, what changes would he put in place to limit potential corruption in office? Here's how Democrat Tobias Reed answered.
I'm very glad to talk about this because there are a lot of similarities in the sense that in the state treasurer's office, we deal with the pension fund. We manage a portfolio of $140 billion, tens of billions of dollars of debt. So we're comfortable with processes that manage for conflicts of interest and those kinds of concerns. So I'll take that same sensibility to the Secretary of State's office and look for opportunities to make sure that we have safeguards in place. The advantage I have in that respect is a record here. I will not have any other job. I won't have time to do any other job. There is a lot of work to do in the Secretary of State's office. I'm looking forward to that and making sure that the processes and the safeguards that we have in place are as robust and significant as possible.
And that was Oregon Secretary of State Democratic candidate Tobias Reed, who is the current Oregon State Treasurer. Next, another candidate for the job is Democrat James Manning. He is currently a state senator.
My name is James Ivory Manning, Jr. I am a public servant running to restore the trust and integrity of the Office of Secretary of State. I will defend democracy, preserve vote by mail, and ensure our election workers and protected our Oregon data is secure. As a former United States Army Assistant Inspector General, I will use the power of the audit to ensure that transparency, accountability of all of our department agencies and state-run programs. As a member of the state land boards, Oregonians can count on me to ensure that our public lands, waterways, and state forests are not for sale. That's why I've earned exclusive endorsement of Congressman Peter DeFazio and the Sierra Club and 350 Salem, Oregon. My commitment to preserve our precious natural resources for our future generation is unwavering.
Manning was asked what his priorities would be if he's elected Oregon Secretary of State.
Thank you for a question, which is really important. I have been in the Oregon State Senate for 8 years. I am a two-term consecutive Senate President pro tem. I've had the luxury of meeting with constituents on an array of issues for the last 8 years. Some of the things that really popped up to my mind and attention that bears a lot of attention right now is one, hiring practices that we have with when it comes time to minority hires and women hires. The other one is when we're talking about the current hospital and medical situation that we have here in the state. That is critically important to me because we've got hospitals and urgent care centers that are closing down at an alarming rate, specifically in my area. I think that OHA will be a priority because of the issues that I've been hearing for the last 8 years. ODOT, because of the issues I've been hearing for the last 8 years. And Oregon Employment Department, because there are so many people that are hurting. Those will be three priorities that I will be looking at with use of the tool of the audit.
State Senator James Manning was also asked if he's elected, what changes would he put in place to limit potential corruption in the office? Here's how the Democrat responded.
This is about leadership. This is about values. This is about integrity. I spent 24 years active duty United States Army. I am a proud, decorated retiree. So when you talk about what sets everybody above, clearly it sets me above. I am a graduate of the United States Army Inspector General University. So I know the value of integrity. Lead by example. I hold myself fully accountable. And then I will be conducting sensing sessions to all of the employees to find out what are those things that they need to help them to become successful. This is not about previous things that accomplishments. We can all tout about that. I have passed over 124 enrolled bills since I've been in the Senate. I think that could be a record, but that's not what this is about. This is about leadership and integrity. Do as you are supposed to do and follow the law, follow the rules. These are basic values of honesty and integrity. Those are the things that I will instill, and those are the things that I will set the example and live by.
And again, that was Democratic candidate for Oregon Secretary of State, State Senator James Manning. Next, we hear from Democrat David Stoffer.
The Secretary of State is also the chair of the Board of Sustainability and Environment. I am the best person to fulfill this role because I have five practical, workable, affordable, profit-making, politically correct, patented inventions that can greatly improve Oregon's environment. One of my inventions can heat your house and air condition your house or building and heat your water so that you can have hot running water, all without burning fossil fuels that pollute the air. If thousands of houses and buildings quit polluting the air, we would have fewer environmental problems with global warming, breathing illnesses, and air pollution. I have another patented invention that can generate electricity from pollution-free and inexpensive wind power, and another to generate electricity by pollution-free and inexpensive wave power. You may find these environmental solutions spelled out in the videos on the Facebook site of Dave Stoffer for Secretary of State.
And here, Stoffer describes his priorities if he's elected Oregon Secretary of State.
I am the solutions candidate. That is that we've got some glaring problems in Oregon that have not been addressed. We've got traffic jams, rush hour traffic jams of people getting into the cities in the morning and leaving the cities in the evening. And we haven't got any solution for that. I do have a solution to decrease those traffic jams. We've got wildfires and drought that are robbing a lot of the farmers and ranchers of their means of livelihood. We've got problems with the Klamath River Basin, where the salmon don't have enough water to swim up the river and spawn. I've got solutions to address those problems. They've been longstanding problems. I hope to work with the governor and implement my solutions. In addition, we're lucky at this point because President Biden has approximately $1.4 trillion to spend on infrastructure, and I would like Oregon to get a big share of that so that we can institute the solutions that I have.
And here's how Stoffer answered the question about what changes he might put in place to limit potential corruption in the office of Oregon Secretary of State.
I will comply with all laws. I will not take a job with any of the persons or companies that the Secretary of State's office regulates. I will stick to the business of being the Secretary of State. I will be in the office more than some of the prior Secretary of States were, and I will follow the law scrupulously. I was an attorney in Oregon for a number of years, and I'm familiar with what the law is, and I look forward to operating a Secretary of State's office that is above reproach and follows all the law.
And again, that was Democrat David Stauffer. He is a candidate for Oregon Secretary of State. Now, a Republican who would like that job is State Senator Dennis Linthicum.
I am currently a state senator for District 28, which includes a major portion of Central Oregon, southern Deschutes County, eastern Jackson County, and all of Klamath County. Before the last redistricting effort, Lake County and all of Cook County were also included in my Senate district. I have a background as a trained economist and being a former senior vice president for management information systems. I've also actually been a construction contractor board license holder and am currently a rancher engaged in land management and sustainability issues. I bring a wealth of technical and managerial expertise to the table, and my expensive expertise in these positions, I think, will provide a great opportunity for me to unlock the potential of individuals within the Secretary of State's office and seize on opportunities to achieve positive outcomes for all Oregonians.
Here, Linthicum describes his priorities if he's elected Oregon Secretary of State.
Election integrity is a big issue. It's probably the primary issue for a Secretary of State. The Secretary of State is also the state's chief auditor. This, too, is important. And the Secretary of State sits on the land board and on the board of sustainability at the governor's level. But back to the Secretary of State, their focus has been grounded, and I'll put this in air quotes, in transparency, accountability, and fairness. And I would focus in those areas, specifically with regard to election integrity. Here's an issue that I ran across with regard to transparency. We had a request, and I was part of a lawsuit with regard to disenfranchisement. We had a request for ballot images, and the county clerk responded with an estimate for $982,896.17. That's how precise the county clerk can get, down to the 17 cents. This is basically a million-dollar tab to get ballot images, which are kept for 2 years for public perusal. There's nothing transparent about that. And I would focus on transparency and availability for the office and office holders that are under the control and dominion of the state's election security system.
Linthicum was asked, if elected, what changes would he put in place to limit potential corruption in the office? Here's how he answered.
In terms of the Secretary of State, Fagan, and her demise, this was all part of, I think, a single-party rule. And the single-party rule notion comes from the governor's office through the Secretary of State, the legislature, both chambers. I've been in the Senate chamber for a number of years, 8 years. And what we see is office holders and position holders carrying out what they perceive to be the will of the majority party. This isn't what their legislative responsibilities are. This is what they perceive their loyalty and responsibility ought to be. And I think what it will take in the Secretary of State's office is new leadership, new insight into what fair and balanced looks like. And how we achieve that is by motivating individuals within that office to exercise their prerogative to follow legislation and achieve the results that the legislators were trying to achieve versus the results they imagine is what the governor's office wanted or the legislature might have wanted with the legislation they have in front of them.
And that was Oregon State Senator Republican Dennis Linthicum, who is running to become Oregon's next Secretary of State. And next we hear from another Republican candidate, Tim McLeod.
I work in business development and information management systems. However, I have experience across the gambit from governmental to nonprofit to large and small business, which does include small business ownership. I've had an opportunity to engage the sphere of economy here in Oregon. My education background is in small city management and public administration with a minor in business administration. However, my expertise continues far beyond the source of my institutional education. So as a result, I am involved currently as the chair of the Republican Elections Committee. I have had numerous opportunities to engage at the highest state level of executive leadership and operations. And I do see this as a role that needs somebody with an experience in innovation, somebody with the ability to communicate through conflict, and somebody who is resilient and able to stand in and manage the difficult challenges to come.
And here McLeod describes his priorities if he's elected Oregon Secretary of State.
It's a priority to focus on our election security. Recent data that was released by the Secretary of State's office pointed out that over a period of 19 years, there have been at least two convictions for election fraud per year. Now, what we don't know, or what's not released within that data, is how many votes, how many races, how many contests were impacted by those convictions. So I think it's important that we take a very strong look at our election system and engage every opportunity to improve our system. That goes from everything from live streaming voting counts to incorporating better training for clerks' offices and volunteers to better security of ballot boxes. I think there's a lot of different things that the right Secretary of State candidate is going to be able to look at, as well as being able to navigate some of the difficult challenges of the political environment that we face today. As somebody with experience communicating across a variety of industries and with people across the total spectrum of Oregon, I do feel very comfortable in my ability to, one, manage the most important priority, which is our election system, but also to be able to pivot out of that and manage some of the other areas needing the attention of the Secretary of State, which also includes a close eye on government spending.
And Republican Tim McLeod also answered the question about the last Oregon Secretary of State resigning early and what changes he would put in place to limit potential corruption in the office of Secretary of State for Oregon.
As the last two Secretaries of State administrations have proven, there is a tremendous fall to corrupt individuals. I don't think this is an issue of laws. I think this is an issue of people. One of the traps that I think we as Oregonians find ourselves in is that we often look to the past. We are not looking forward to new ideas and new people. So as a result, the political landscape is actually very small. The number of people that are engaged in running for office is very small. But the problem isn't the law. The problem is the quality of people who are announcing for office. I've announced for Secretary of State because of that dearth of quality people who are willing to do the right thing for the state of Oregon. With that in mind, and with all due public scrutiny, I think there is adequate control over the public official's office to strongly encourage them to do the right thing. If there was none of that pressure, I don't think that Shemaya would have ever stepped down in the first place. I think she was far too comfortable in her corruption. But I think as a broad communication, I think we need to start focusing on better quality of people and allow the law to operate in a way that shuts down feasance early, but pick better quality people would be my answer.
And those are the candidates on the ballot in May's primary election for Oregon Secretary of State. We just heard from Republican Tim McLeod, Republican Dennis Linthicum, Democrat Tobias Reed, Democrat James Manning, Democrat James Crary, and Democrat David Stauffer. Also this week, the U.S. Senate is taking a closer look at how there are serious risks to our cybersecurity. Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden warned his colleagues that this is a very serious threat, and America and the Pacific Northwest are not ready for it.
The dams that generate our hydropower are no exception to the serious set of threats that we are facing in cybersecurity generally. Countries like China and Russia present a significant national security concern as they have the ability to shut down core functions of our society and even cause death by hacking critical infrastructure. the subcommittee is being told by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which licenses 2,500 dams, that the dams responsible for well over half of the non-federal power generation have not received a cybersecurity audit. And currently, there's no plan to complete these missing audits anytime soon. FERC has told my staff we want to thank them for their cooperation and their forthcoming way in which they've handled this. They've told my staff they simply don't have the ability to review the remaining dams within the next decade. Big part of the challenge is FERC has just 4 cybersecurity experts to oversee 2,500 dams. There are no minimum standards, no audits of a majority of dams, and bad cybersecurity. That is inviting cybersecurity trouble in the Pacific Northwest. As the chairman of the subcommittee responsible for dams, I do not want to sit around and wake up to a news report about a small town in the Pacific Northwest getting wiped out because of a cybersecurity attack against a private dam upriver. FERC cybersecurity rules only apply to dams that are remotely managed over the Internet. This practice enables companies to save money, but not requiring an operator on site. But those cost savings for the dam operator lead to significantly greater cyber risks. There are no mandatory cybersecurity requirements for dams only administered by on-site operators. To make matters worse, FERC cybersecurity rules have not been updated since 2016. They aren't specific enough and are mostly about paperwork and checking boxes. FERC doesn't have the resources it needs to be an effective regulator of the cybersecurity of private sector run dams. This is a problem for the Congress to address. Now it's time for Congress to step up. The seriousness of cyber threats to critical infrastructure has been clear for years. Companies and agencies across the federal government have been slow to respond to the cyber threats, which are the result of a combination of factors, including weak regulation, no audits, and no accountability. For example, last year I asked the Department of Homeland Security Cybersecurity Review Board to look into the theft of senior government officials' emails from Microsoft servers. DHS published the board's report last week, which documented numerous cybersecurity problems that seriously undermine U.S. national security. Microsoft software is used widely across the U.S. government and industry. And if you look at these practices, which we've seen for years now, they're undermining America's cyber defenses and creating a serious threat to national security. One of the central issues is that the United States doesn't have a more coordinated approach to cybersecurity. Cybersecurity of each part of our society is regulated in a different way, and some end up not being regulated at all. Some have rules, some have the honor system. My own view is this is not good enough. So there is no wonder that there are broad parts of our government and society with awful cybersecurity, no effective rules, and no cyber safety regulatory efforts. The Congress needs to address cybersecurity broadly rather than playing a whack-a-mole industry or agency one at a time.
And that was Oregon U.S. Senator Ron Wyden. You're listening to Speaking Freely with Annette Newell. Thanks for tuning in here on your favorite Alpha Media radio station. If you have a topic you would like to hear about on this show, please send me an email about it to annette.newell@alphamediausa.com. One more time, that's annette.newell@alphamediausa.com. Join us again next week and check out our Speaking Freely podcast on KXL.com.